I think rather than giving a one-hour philosophical discourse on the absolute truth, I'll just speak 10 minutes from the heart. Eloquence is truth spoken concisely. The first thing I wanted to say was that it's not that I didn't want to come here. There was something came out like that. I wasn't displeased with Gurangi. I was, but I chastised her, and she took it. The duty of the spiritual master is to chastise, because if he just tells us how nice we're doing here, we'll never make the attempt to correct ourselves and get out of here. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was, Prabhupada told us several times, he was more chastising. So that you can only do with senior disciples whose faith is not broken. They cry a lot and it's hard, but then they rise to the challenge, which you did. And I will continue to chastise you. I wasn't displeased with anyone. It's not that I don't want to be here with you. I want to be here with you, my disciples, and my godbrothers and godsisters, because this is one of the first yatras. So there's many senior devotees here. And it's a very successful yatra. It's just that as time goes on, I have more responsibilities. I can only attribute that to chanting and begging for service for 43 years. When we chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, it's not to finish our quota of rounds. It's not that we're chanting to finish the quota and just leave the rest up to Krishna. We're not chanting the mantra. Actually, more than a mantra, which it is, a sound vibration which purifies the heart, it's more like a prayer. And bandhanam, prayer, is one of the 9 authorized processes of devotional service. Shravanam, kirtanam, vishnushmaranam, padasevanam, archanam, bandham, dasyam, sakyam, atmanivedanam. It's a prayer from the heart, asking the Lord for service, which we have been bereft of since time immemorial, meaning when we fell from grace and we fell from the spiritual world. I very much like Madhava Prabhu's now famous quote, which he expresses practically each and every kirtan. Everybody now, a little louder from the heart. This is capturing the essence of Krishna consciousness. A heartfelt prayer, as we say in English. Now I can say it because I'm in England. A heartfelt prayer that we're desperate for service, because for so long we've been Godasa, not Goswami. Godasa means servant of the senses, and our senses and our minds, essentially our material desires, have dragged us mercilessly over the coals of material existence from time immemorial, and we're tired of it. We surrender. Like Draupadi, finally, Krishna, oh, hey, Govinda. She put 2 arms up. And Krishna reciprocated. So this is a prayer for service. We're not hesitant to accept service. Maybe initially, when we come in contact with Krishna consciousness, we hear the word service to God. It may sound a little repugnant, if only because our masters in this world have been merciless. They've abused us. They've mistreated us, dealt with us unkindly. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said that material life means that you put your head on my lap to take shelter, and he said, I cut your throat. Merciless masters we've had. So many authorities who we put our faith in. But they were mainly interested in their own selfish desires. Of course, even in life, material life, you do meet kind people. But in general, when we hear about service, it's not very pleasant. But when we come in contact with our merciful master, who reciprocates with some insignificant service just done with a half drop of devotion, but reciprocates so benevolently with the holy name, the shastras, the holy dhams, good association, prasadam, a bright future, then we know really what service is all about. When we learn to serve Hari, Guru, and Vaishnava, then we know the real joy of service. And we know what Prabhupada's statement is. Faith means to put your trust in something or someone sublime. And we surrender more and more. So I think after so many years, since 1970, this aspiring devotee, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Consciously and unconsciously, I'll be honest, consciously and unconsciously, still, if someone knocks on your door long enough, finally you're going to answer, who's there? There's a famous song, Knock, Knock, Knock on Heaven's Door. I can say I never heard it, but I heard about it. I meet people in the street, you know, knock, knock, knock on heaven's door. So that's the Maha Mantra. We have to be in knowledge of why we are chanting. That's why there's so many japa seminars now. So we don't chant mechanically, but we chant from the heart. We're not afraid to ask for service because we know intellectually it's our constitutional position. But we also know that by taking shelter of Hari, he who removes all inauspiciousness, Guru, and Vaishnava, it's a real shelter. We like to give the example, we've given it many times, of Prabhupada's walk on the beach at Juhu, and he saw the dogs playing. Well, not playing, they were fighting for some tidbits, some scraps on the ground, and there was not enough to go around, and they were all skinny and had mange and all diseased. Then there was another dog on a leash, as you see, common in India today. I don't know how it happened, but big fluffy white dog with a collar on a leash with his master. He was fat and cheerful. So Prabhupada said, what's the difference between those dogs and that dog, the white fluffy one? Devotees didn't catch it at first. Prabhupada said, the difference between those scruffy dogs and the happy dogs, happy dog, is the happy dog has a master. So we learn this in Krishna consciousness, how fortunate we become, how our spiritual master, the Vaishnavas and the Lord, the source of all auspiciousness for us. So I think after some time, the process must work. One time Malati said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, is it like really true that there's a planet of cows? Pasturing grounds, Goloka means the pasturing grounds of the cows, where God, the Almighty God, is a 9-year-old boy with long cascading black hair and eyes like lotus petal to his ears and lips red like the bimba fruit and teeth set like rows of pearls, and he plays the flute and he charms little girls. Is that really true? And Prabhupada bowed his head and thought for a moment and he said, do you think that I would cheat you? Do you think that I would cheat you? Having faith, not so much knowing Krishna, but knowing her Guru Maharaj, Śrīla Prabhupāda, how kind he was, and how much mercy she'd be served, she said, no, Prabhupada, you would not cheat me. So it is true that after some time, the process works. Even if you're resistant, it still works in due course of time. Just like medicine. You receive medicine from a bona fide physician, doesn't matter who you are. You may be king, you may be pauper. You may be intelligent, you may be fool. You may be man, you may be woman. You may be black, white, yellow, green. The medicine works. So Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement, the chanting of the holy names of Krishna, it's for each and everyone. Of course, we'll make advancement. Different stages. Some will advance quickly, some will advance less quickly. But if we're adhere to the process in due course of time, it will work. And what is one sign that it's working? We get more responsibility in Krishna consciousness. That's one sign. There's many ways to determine how I'm making advancement. One sign is that your father entrusts the business to you. Agarwal, Agarwal, and you walk by one day, it says Agarwal and Sons. It's very common in India to see, right? The sons. Patel and Sons. Agarwal and Sons. What happened? The father grew old. And he, with faith, he entrusted the work to his sons. Just like these boys. These two boys in particular. They're good boys. They're good devotees. Someone mentioned how I deal with the youth. I meet a lot of youth. But these two boys are serious about Krishna consciousness. Plays excellent mridanga, sings very nicely, speaks nicely, and they're so young. So as we grow older, our spiritual father, he may, out of his kindness, entrust us with more responsibility. That's no small thing, because what is the highest responsibility? The spiritual welfare, work of Krishna consciousness. We're sometimes impressed with material welfare, and rightfully so. Anyone with a soft heart can appreciate how the downtrodden are being helped in various ways. But Rupa Goswami was very firm. The real welfare work for society is spiritual welfare, because ultimately it gives people the opportunity for Krishna consciousness, whereby all problems are solved by going back home, back to Godhead. Punar janma nividyate, Krishna says. Having once come home, you never come back. You never come back. So to be entrusted with this work of spreading the movement, which someone noted that I always say, this is a missionary movement, I do often say that. Because that's what I observed in my Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada. He may be who he is in the spiritual world. And certainly he is a very intimate associate of the Lord. But as I know him here, and as I meditate on him now, until I join him by his grace in the spiritual world, his work in this world was continuing the missionary activities of Bhakti Sadhana Saraswati Thakur, of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, of Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Narottam, Srinivas, Shyamananda, Gauranga Mahaprabhu, Lord Nityananda. That's the work of the Lord when he comes to this world, in this age, preaching activities. It's so important that the Lord only entrusts it to his most intimate servants. Just like in Christianity, we refer to Jesus as the chosen one. The Lord entrusted his work to there's many sons. Obviously a father like God doesn't have just one son. He has many, but this son, Jesus Christ, he's special. He's sometimes referred to as the anointed one. The anointed one. Christ means the anointed one. Not just Jesus, but Jesus the Christ. the anointed one. God gave that this service of coming to the Middle East and against all opposition to begin a spiritual revolution, which was required at that time in history. He paid a heavy price for it with his own life. The Lord gave his only begotten Son. Not that he's the only begotten Son, but he's that Son who was dear enough to the Lord, he could entrust the mission. So if we get some responsibility in Krishna consciousness, that means that the Lord has some confidence. Maybe we're doing something right. And you see that with all older devotees. They have serious responsibilities. So it wasn't that I didn't want to come, but even though I was thinking, I'm getting older now, everyone's always telling me, slow down, take rest. So I tried. Went to Vrindavan. I tried to be a Babaji, but you know, even there I was on a parikrama every day. Where do you think all those photographs came from? Sitting in under a banyan tree chanting all day? Oh, I was running around. Clicking, as they say in India. How many clicks have you taken today, Swami? I like your clicks. It's Hindi. I like your snaps. Very good snaps, Swami. Like an old Kodak camera, snap. Look, I've got a Canon 5D Mark II. It's not taking snaps, okay? It doesn't take clicks. It's a digital camera. It costs a lot of... I like your snaps, Swami. Oh, thank you. It doesn't come from sitting, but the desire to share Braj with the world. That's all. Like this expensive camera, expensive lens, so much time invested. It's just another anga, another arm of sharing. I never thought of becoming a photographer. Didn't figure out how it worked. I still don't know how it works. I just aim, shoot, and point and shoot. Somehow it works. You know, you add a little something afterward. But it inspires the devotee. So even in Vrindavan, this mood is still there to share. Prabhupada said, Vrindavan is for inspiration. And we had the idea to preach in Italy. Because when you have something nice and you have a lot of it, you want to share it with others. Krishna consciousness is all about sharing. And then we had the idea. Actually, we were getting accustomed to living that simple life there. It was so nice. Prabhupada was so kind that he took us to Bharat and to Vrindavan and Mayapur and Jagannath Puri because they're special places. There's something special there, very special. And it grows on you after a while. You become very grateful. I was thinking, I went down to Ujjain on the invitation of Bhakti Choru Maharaj. There was some wedding there. So I went to the wedding and then I started exploring the area because it's very historic. For Gaudiya Vaishnavas, it's very historic. It's where the school of Sandipani Muni was, where Krishna and Balaram went to school. So after the wedding, I'm thinking, hey, I want to go see the school of Sandipani Muni and where Krishna and Balaram learned in the Gurukul. I read the chapter in the Krishna book. I said, wow. And I went there, and it was such an amazing experience. History just came alive, and it's so well preserved, and everything's still there, and I was sitting in the classroom and looking at Sandipani Muni's deities, remembering the pastimes, and then going to visit the great Shiva temple there. There's so many, well, there's, I think, 12 Jyotirlingas, self-manifested Shiva lingams in India, and that's one of the main places there. So I went. And the Shiva Bhaktas were so kind, they took me inside and showed me and put my head on the lingam and say some prayers to your Krishna. Remembering how Vaishnavanam mita Shambhu, that Shiva is the greatest devotee and he's one of the five protectors of the Dham, one of the five personalities who grants entrance into the real mood of Vrindavan, the mood of the Brajabasis. And then I walked down to the riverbank, and it was like the 1800s down there. It hadn't changed. All these old temples and cows and sadhus and the river was so clean and flowing, and the parrots were chirping, and I think, wow, this is, I was thinking, this is India. You get out of Bombay, you get out of Delhi, out of Calcutta, this is the real India. It's still there. It's still available to us by Prabhupada's mercy. And I was thinking, I could just pick up the loincloth on the bank there, take a stick, and just walk around this country for the rest of my life. I think I could do that. And do Madhukari. I even tried. I went to knock on one door. I said, Ma, hungry, roti. Oh, come. And so I'd eat 10 rotis and sabji. And I think, I can't do that every day. I'll get too fat. But I was thinking, this is the beauty of Vedic culture. The remnants are still there. Prabhupada said, the elephant, living or dead, he's still valuable. Even when he's dead, his skin is valuable, his tusks are valuable. So even though Vedic culture is practically dead, it's still appreciable. It's still there. So I was thinking, I was sitting on the banks next to a Shiva, little small Shiva temple shrine, and I was praying to Lord Shiva, how can I accommodate these two desires? To follow the instruction of my spiritual master to preach boldly and have faith in the holy names until I die, because I can't say that I have fulfilled that instruction yet. And my heart's desire to be in this land of Bharat, which I just feel so natural living here, and I feel so much inspiration to read and to chant and to go deeper. I said, I was praying to Lord Shiva, how can I do this? I either stay here or I go there. And all of a sudden I had this thought. No, not here or there. Why don't you just do both here? I was thinking, oh, thank you, Lord Shiva. That's very... Not that Shiva said something to me, but or inspired me. It was just so coincidental. I'm thinking, bring the festival tour to India. I was thinking, is that what Prabhupada would want? And I thought, yes. I remember when Prabhupada wrote us in 1972 that every temple should give 3 good men or ladies to his preaching in India. He wanted Western body devotees to preach in India. And I was thinking, yes, Prabhupada wanted that. He wanted to preserve Vedic culture in case the rest of the world went to hell. Let's say, knock on wood, that the movement at some point in Kali Yuga was no longer successful, because sometimes things appear and disappear, like the Saraswati. Sometimes the preaching is manifest, sometimes not. So let's say that Krishna consciousness at some point, and it became extinguished, but it was also extinguished in India. That would be the gravest calamity. Prabhupada wanted the pilot light to always be burning in India. So just in case, it could always be reignited in the land of Dharma. This was his idea. To revive Vedic culture so that the rest of the world could eventually benefit as well. Just like the culture was lost for thousands of years. Yudhishthira ruled the whole world, Krishna conscious, and then disappeared. But because it was present in Bharat, it could be revived again. So Prabhupada, it's quickly disappearing in India. So Prabhupada wanted Westerners, because he called them dancing white elephants. And I stood up and I walked into town. As I was walking into town, all the people were paying obeisances to me. Not me, but a sannyasi. I was thinking, just see, I'm a white man, dressed as a sadhu, and people have respect. They're coming up asking me, so sir, where are you from? What are you, Vaishnava? Or, yes. And who is your guru? So what is his teachings? Well, it took me 3 hours to get back to the temple. Only 20 minutes away. So I'm thinking, yes, this is Mahaprabhu's, Prabhupada's desire. So one thing led to another, and all of a sudden, now we, you know, I had Nandini and Jayatam fly to India. We chose Gujarat. How many of you are Gujaratis? Any Gujarat? Yes, you see. Went to Gujarat, and we made a plan for the entire month of January and February. We would go to Rajkot, we'd go to Allahabad, we'd go to Baroda. I forget the rest of the name of the places. But and I started learning Gujarati, Kemcho. How are you? To prepare. And Krishna arranged, and Mahaprabhu arranged in such a way, doesn't cost me 1 pound. Because usually I have to spend the whole year traveling, collecting for the 2 months. Yashamati Nandana, Prabhu, my godbrother, Basu Ghosh. I walked in. They called all the temple presidents. They heard about the idea. He stood up. He said, Indrana Maharaj wants to bring his. We will facilitate him by providing all the finance and all the organization. All he has to do is walk in with his team and do the show. I went, Jai, Om Namo Shivaya Namaha. So I came to rest, but I got more service. And then I went to China. I went to Hong Kong. And I'm always resisting going into mainland, but I don't know, this time. The devotees, they came, they were so sweet, and they were begging me with tears in their eyes, please, Guru Maharaj, please come. Please preach. And one time I just gave in. And it escalated into another festival program. I don't know. I mean, not the same way. We have to be a little careful. But things are changing there a little bit. So we'll take a cultural program in with 10 or 15 devotees. And, you know, Dina Dayal will show them what is real ninja. And we'll have dancing. And, you know, the lecture will be toned down, something, if I can do it, like that. So all of a sudden I'm thinking, you know, that I came to rest and my service multiplied. So I was thinking that, you know, because I have so much service, maybe cut back on something. So that's what happened. Not because I didn't want to come, but because I just have so many responsibilities. But then I started getting all these loving letters. Was that a plan? I started getting all these very wonderful letters from my disciples. And I was reminded that my service, one of my services should not be at the expense of another service. That when the tide rises, all the boats are elevated to the same level. So a spiritual master has many responsibilities, all in this regard of preaching. But I was thinking that I cannot, after reading your letters, I could not put all the energy into these programs at the expense of continuing to inspire my disciples here in England. So I came back. And I'm very glad I did, because I could see this afternoon how much progress you're making. I always say this at the Vyasa Puja ceremonies, that a Vaishnava can be understood when he or she speaks. Not that one has to be an elegant speaker, not that one has to be a trained speaker, take classes in public speaking, but really when devotees speak, they speak from the heart. Because Krishna consciousness is all about the heart. From your heart. It's all about developing spiritual relationships with the devotees, finding real friendship in Krishna consciousness, with one's spiritual master, going deeper into the science of Krishna consciousness, and of course, ultimately developing a very deep and loving relationship with God. It's all about that. So at moments like this, we really do speak from the heart, and I was very much impressed with the offerings today. They were very mature, seasoned, and realized. Because life is not easy. Even though we're devotees, we still live in this world. And we are not, not that we are not subject to birth, disease, old age, and death. We also go through these miseries of material existence. But we do so in a Krishna conscious way. We have the shelter of the teachings of Guru and Gauranga, which helps us to deal with those things, and if nothing else, gives us the faith that there is Krishna. And after this life is finished, if our faith in the Lord has developed, has matured, that we can go back to Godhead. We can tolerate the miseries of material existence, knowing of the reality of Krishna consciousness. Everything here is like the summer and winter seasons. It comes and it goes. But Krishna consciousness is the constant reality. And it's always there for us. In the form of Hari Guru and Vaishnava. So we may deviate. We may just get captured by Maya again, and we may get burnt. And then we remember Hari Guru and Vaishnava, and we come back to that shelter. So that I'm seeing. Sometimes disciples go and they may forget, but the spiritual master doesn't forget. That you have to have the confidence. Just like the child may leave home and forget the parents, but the parents don't forget it because they're older, they're more mature. They don't forget the children. The nature of children is to be a little naughty and forget. The parents are mature. So when I see the disciples who, not that they've gone, but they may have just struggled in Krishna consciousness and cried an ocean of tears and maybe made some mistakes. When I see the beautiful offerings of love and appreciation for the steadfast spiritual master who doesn't deviate, who's always there to set the example and shows how nice it is to be a devotee, like a beacon, like that lighthouse is there in the stormy weather. It's crazy. But the lighthouse is firm. And the light is always shining. So spiritual master is meant to be like that for the disciple. The spiritual master must be like the rock of Gibraltar in the midst of the storm. It's not that because he's spiritual master, he doesn't experience birth, disease, old age, and death. He also experiences. But because of his faith, he remains firm. And even in the midst of the greatest calamity, he's still happy in Krishna consciousness. There's a verse like that in the Bhagavad Gita, where even in the midst of the greatest calamity, the yogi remains firm. Because he sees the storm will pass, but the lighthouse will always stay. We have one place we do our program in Poland. And there's a lighthouse. What is that town called? Niehoszów. There's a lighthouse. And nowadays we do our program right under the lighthouse. And, you know, the storms have come and gone. People have come and gone. War has come and gone. Good day. The lighthouse is still there. So if one wants to accept the service, because this is a service to one's guru, to be a spiritual master, then that strength has to be there. Where does one get that strength? It's no mystery. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Nama, Hare. So when I hear the offerings like today, I see that all the disciples have weathered the storm. They've been through thick and thin. And, you know, the wrinkles are there now, the gray hair is coming. Of course, they use the dye, but we're not young anymore, and we're weathered by life. But through all that weathering, we have this precious jewel of faith in Hari Guru and Vaishnava. So I'm very pleased to see that. Just that you're still here says a lot. And I'll be here for you. Always. That's my duty to my Guru Maharaj. I took this service, so I will be here for you. As like the lighthouse. And to smile even in the midst of the greatest calamity, knowing that the future is very bright in Krishna consciousness. And if we just continue, as best we can, following the process, and especially chanting, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. You know, when the child struggles through school or through their social life or growing up, the parents worry, and the parents get more attached. So it's like that in Krishna consciousness. When I see disciples struggling, I worry more. But what can I do? I just have to be a good example and continue preaching the philosophy. I think Kurumayi was saying that it's not that the spiritual master necessarily has to deal with each and every problem and be a psychologist or deal with married problems. You know, we do these things, we don't do these things. Right now I'm too busy spearheading the movement now in India and China with the festival. So perhaps you'll see me less, but you always know that I'm there and I do care. And my gift to you is that steadfastness and that example and that if you follow in the footsteps, then you'll also be happy in Krishna consciousness. So I thank you for the offerings. They were very beautiful. Actually, every disciple should write. If not speak, on the Vyasa Puja. Of course, this is a little early. Actually, my Vyasa Puja is at late May. This is, someone called it, oh, you're going to your warm-up Vyasa Puja. One godmother said, you're going to your warm-up. I know, it's a real Vyasa Puja. Yeah, but it's like a warm-up because you have six of them. Even after your birthday, you have in May, in June. So I hope all the rest of them are like this. This was very sweet. And you endeared me to you by all the offerings. And I look forward to coming back again next year. I promise you I'll come every year. Even if Mahaprabhu sends me to Alaska or the Arctic or the... Eskimos also need Krishna consciousness. We'll fly from London to the Antarctic or something like that. So thank you very much. It's been a very beautiful day. And I'm looking forward, actually, tomorrow we also have nice programs for Ram Navami. So I very much enjoy this. I like being with anybody and everybody. I mean, I just like being with the people as well. But there's some special nectar in being with the disciples. We're like a family and we're working together through all the problems. Our problems and the world problems. But that working in that way makes us very close. So each and every one of you are very dear to me. I love you very much. And I look forward to getting back home, back to Godhead, and enjoying these loving exchanges with Sridhar Prabhupada and Radha and Krishna. Hare Krishna. Thank you.